We're back here on the stairway. It's week 11. Mr. Just Right behind the mic. With me as always, my brother. Bad news, B-Rai. What's up, man?
What's up, Mikey? We had a little bit of a break from action here, but The Steelers keep on going. They keep on winning. Got a lot of good stuff to talk about here, and I'm excited to get back to it.
Yeah, the train keeps on rolling. We got past Will Levis and the Titans. I think there was a lot of things to like about that game. I got the running game going a little bit more in that one. We saw some good performances from Joey Porter Jr., putting a nice lockdown on DeAndre Hopkins. Really, the Titans game, I think, is just like a lot of our other wins this season, just kind of a team effort all around. Nothing spectacular from the offense, but just enough to get it done. Defense came through, and we avoided the rookie quarterback there, which gave us some fits earlier in the season with Stroud. So we kind of brought Levis back down to earth from his big breakout 4-touchdown game there. So nice to still have that effect of putting rookie quarterbacks in their place. And that brought us to this past week with a legendary franchises going at it with the Steelers and the Packers, a rematch of Super Bowl 45. Yeah, 45, right? I think we watched that in your basement, actually. fortunately, a loss in that one, but a win in this one, B-Rai, against the Packers. A last second, which has also been a theme, a last drive defensive stand to pull out the victory closer than we would have liked. But at the end of the day, a win is a win. And what were your thoughts and takeaways from that game against the Packers?
Yeah, it was another one of those down to the wire games where I think some of the other ones were Kenny coming back at the end, being the one that gets the last second touchdown or field goal. This one was a little different. We kind of had the lead for, I think, the entire game except for like maybe 2 minutes. So it came down to the wire where the offense did have to keep making plays, but at the end it was the defense that had to really come up huge. So yeah, the Packers driving down the field and then ended in that really nice, huge play at the end with that interception. So it's kind of been aligning with the trend recently, just winning ugly games. You can say the Steelers are winning luckily, but to me, it's when you do it over and over again, it's not really a luck factor. It's just kind of the methodology behind how they win games. Can they maintain this moving forward? Can they win in this kind of way against better teams? That's a good question. Kind of interested to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't Kenny at the end there for the win, but the defense has stepped up at just the right time in a lot of these games, and they did so on a couple of different occasions. In this one, right, the two big interceptions. We had the one at the very end and then the one, the last play of the game, right? The last throw of the game. So, again, a team effort all around. I saw a lot of guys making contributions on defense. Unfortunately, though, and we'll get into this in a little bit, another huge injury that's going to impact that middle linebacker position that we were pretty high on, that I think is going to have a big ramifications as the season goes on. To your question, B-Rai, you know, I still don't think this team is a legitimate contender for the stairway this year. I think when we really go up against the big dogs, we're going to have trouble. If we get into an offensive shootout or we're expected to put up a lot of points on the board, that's where we're really going to run into trouble. Now, I don't know how many teams are going to be left when it's all said and done that are going to be able to do that. That's the thing. You look at your Kansas Cities. Buffalo, I still think will get it right, but they have the potential to be that. The Ravens have shown that potential, but when you get into these games against, you know, especially the Ravens, we have the ability to put a cap on that And if we run up against them in the playoffs, it's anybody's ball game. I don't care how good the Ravens look right now. And then you look across the AFC and other places, you know, the Jets aren't the force that we thought they were going to be coming into the year. The Dolphins, can they play on the road well in the weather? They're kind of hit or miss. Can they stack up against the good teams? And now we have a huge injury to one of the top quarterbacks in the AFC North and Joe Burrow. So that's going to neuter that team pretty well too. So you look at the landscape at the end of the day in the AFC, I don't want to write them off entirely either. So I don't know if that lines up with what you're thinking. Basically it's nothing makes me want to pound my chest about this team. But the fact of the matter is we're 6-3. We're in second place in the division with a game in hand, a practical tie for first place, I want to call it. And anything can happen, right? So that's the way I'm trying to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's in front of them. There's a pathway there. And with all these injuries you speak of, Joe Burrow included, you have, so the remaining schedule, we got the Browns with Dorian Thompson-Robinson. We got the Bengals with Jake Browning. Arizona has Kyler, just came back. He looked pretty good in his season debut. So overall, not a great team. So it should be a team we can beat. We'll see when we get there. But and then after that, it's New England with Mac Jones, who recently got benched. You got Billy Zappi. There's rumors of him maybe starting the next game. Two quarterbacks you're not afraid of. After that, you got Indy. They're a tough team. I don't think we can take them lightly, but their quarterback is Gardner Minshew, who, in my opinion, is a good backup, but not necessarily a starter. After that, back to playing Cincy with Jake Browning, Seattle, Geno Smith. That's a good one. And then Lamar Jackson to end of the year. So a lot of beatable quarterbacks. I know quarterback's not everything, but that definitely sets us up to kind of control our own destiny to a point.
Absolutely. Half the schedule remaining, and I was looking at this myself earlier, is basically against backup quarterbacks. And then you look, you know, obviously on the road against Seattle, but we had Geno's number the last time we faced them, and Lamar in Baltimore. But again, that game is a toss-up, and historically we've been really solid against Lamar, who the Ravens, by the way, lost the player that torches the Steelers the most probably for the rest of the year, and Mark Andrews. So lots of huge injuries to the teams across the AFC North, and you're right, the path forward is there. It's in front of them to take. This little road trip we're making to Ohio is going to be critical. We have to make a statement against these two teams on the road. It would be huge for our prospects the rest of the season if we could take care of these two backup quarterbacks. But there's, of course, other things we have to worry about here too in these games, and we'll get to that in a little bit in Cleveland. The December 3rd game against Arizona in Pittsburgh sets up nicely, I think, for us as well. Getting Kyler and the boys out of the dome there, slow that team around, slow them up a little bit, and maybe they're out of their element. Maybe we can really take them there at home, but he did look pretty solid. So you're right. Looking at the schedule ahead, it's winnable, and it's even more winnable than it was a week ago with these injuries. So let's look at this last game against the Packers before we get ahead of ourselves, and let's break down what happened there, starting with the quarterback play. And again, B-Ry, nothing spectacular. This is the trend. This is the Kenny Pickett line. This is a classic Kenny Pickett line. You need to win the game at this point. This has been him all year. 14 for 23 for 126 yards. No touchdowns, but no interceptions. And he was only sacked one time, played the whole game. Thoughts on Kenny Pickett on this one?
It wasn't a pretty game. Wasn't a fantasy kind of game. You look at it and you say, oh, that's Kenny. He's terrible. You know, a lot of the critics say those kind of things. I'm not saying they're wrong, but I look at it way different. There's more to it than that. Starting from Mike Tomlin down, they want to play football a certain way. They want to win the turnover battle. They ask him to do less. They don't want him to take chances. I think in some way you quarterbacks can have an issue getting into a rhythm when they don't have a chance to take chances. And I get Tomlin's methodology there. It is winning football. That's why we're a 6-3 team. I think it's been so Pickett's the league leader right now in throwing interceptions. He's like the last person to throw one. It's been like 4 or 5 games, but he's still making plays. He's still using his feet a little bit. He's helping us win these games, but he's not doing enough to win on his own. And I don't think he's doing enough to win against a good team. Now, I just can't blame him for a game like this because this is what they're asking him to do.
Yeah, and it's above Tomlin. It's Art Rooney down, I think, is how they want to play football. And I believe Art Rooney said that at the beginning of the year. They want to get back to running the football. The thing is, the last couple of games, I feel like we're finally starting to do that. And a big part of that is the emergence of Broderick Jones. And does he have a home in the future on the right side of the line? But overall, the offensive line play is improving, evidenced by, I don't think the Packers are the best defense to gauge against here, but I think we'll have a lot better look at where we're at next week against Cleveland. But they're keeping Kenny upright as well, which is important to a guy who has been knocked around early on in his career. We want to keep him clean. If we can keep him clean and he can keep the box score here clean of interceptions, that gives us a chance to win because we're getting contributions on the defensive side of the ball and we can control the game with the run. We were getting more 4, 5 yard runs in the run game, and that helps us keep ahead of the chains and keeps us out of the 3rd and 7s, 3rd and 8s, 3rd and 9s. And all of a sudden, you maybe get 3rd and 3, 3rd and 2, and it's a lot more manageable. Yeah, B-Rice, so you have your hand up.
Yeah, what do you think? Do you think there's any parallel between this team and the 05 Super Bowl team? Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is a Super Bowl team. Far from it at this point. But you talked about it coming from the Rooney down of how you want to play a certain type of way. You want to run the football. You want to play defense. We got a young quarterback, Ben. It's been a long time. Ben, in his first couple years, he wasn't putting up stats. He was more of a game manager who made plays when it mattered. I'm not comparing Kenny to Ben by no means. Ben coming out was a higher pedigree guy too. He was a early first round pick. So I think there are some parallels. I think this is how the Steelers want to win when you have a young quarterback. And I think the hope here is that kind of like Ben, he can develop further and further. I think a lot of people are quick to judge quarterbacks coming out if they don't develop within that first year, if they don't show enough. You hear people talking about Bryce Young and saying like he's a bust. I think it's ridiculous. Sure, Kenny needs to show more. He's behind on the development, but I don't think his story's been written yet. I think there is a possibility that he develops further and further and can be a solid quarterback in the NFL. Just my thoughts.
I think that's going to be the question with Kenny at the end of, and I still think at the end of this year, the questions we're going to be asking is Matt Canada the guy to lead this offense? Is Kenny Pickett the guy to lead this team? We're obviously going to have to figure that out by the end of next season for sure. I think just my concern with Kenny is his ceiling in general. I still think there's some steps he can take and maybe let him loose a little bit for sure. And I think he's more of an athlete than we probably think he is. But where's the high water mark for him? And how's he going to stack up against these truly kind of generational quarterbacks that he has to go up against? Not only in this division, but across the AFC and the NFL. I mean, it's buyer's remorse, kind of. I think when you look at a guy like CJ Stroud, just absolutely tearing it up in the MVP conversation, Patrick Mahomes, you know, in his first season as a starter, just kind of blowing things up. Lamar Jackson already has an MVP under his belt. Joe Burrow, you know, he's injured this year, obviously, but I think you can see a very high ceiling with him still. And he was a similar guy to Kenny, you know, early in his college career. He kind of bounced around, and then in his final season, he just kind of burst onto the scene and became one of the, you know, top end prospects there, where Kenny was maybe a little bit overlooked in a weaker quarterback class. But I think that's my thing with him is does he have the ceiling, and are we going to find that ceiling by the end of next year to really feel confident in going forth against a group of strong quarterbacks in today's league that we're ultimately going to need to get past to get to the stairway. Yeah. But to your question about the 05 team, I do see some parallels. You know, I think Ben, what did he have? Let me see here. I just pulled up their roster here. He had 17 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Obviously, he won all those games in a row, right, as a rookie. Then he set the record, right, for a number of wins in a row by a rookie quarterback, taking over for Tommy Maddox. The run game, we had an aging bus, and we had an up-and-coming Fast Willie. So I don't know if you would call Najee or Jalen a bus-type running back, but we do have a nice, seemingly very nice 1-2 punch there, obviously, right now, especially after these last couple games, which I feel really good about the run game if we can keep it up. The offensive line, I think, in 05 B-Rai was a little bit of a more sure thing. We had a really nice offensive line. Marvell Smith, obviously, Hall of Famer Alan Faneca, Jeff Hardings, who was no slouch, and kind of continued that that long tradition of strong center play, which is maybe one of our weaknesses on the offensive line. Now, Kendall Simmons and Max Starks on the right side, that was a really solid offensive line. So I think that's one big difference that we have on that team to this one. But you look at the skill guys, Hines Ward, Antoine Randall, none of these guys were, you know, huge. I mean, the wide receiver position, I think, has changed quite a bit since then in terms of top end talent. But these guys were just kind of workmanlike. You know, Hines was a veteran at this point in his career. Antoine's still pretty young, but a dual threat there. But nothing that jumps off the page at you in terms of starting. And that's sort of where we're at right now, I think, with Deontay and George. And I mean, the defense was kind of an all-timer, I think, right? We had obviously Aaron Smith, James Ferrier. Yeah, you look at the inside linebackers, Ferrier, Foot. I mean, those two were rock solid, and we're definitely missing that right now with this team after the last couple weeks. Ike Taylor, who couldn't make an interception to save his life a lot of the times. One of my favorite Steelers of all time, Ike Taylor. Troy, obviously, Deshae Townsend. I mean, this was just a great defense. Clark Higgins was extremely underrated. Kemo, Casey Hampton in the middle. But as I'm rattling off these names, I can kind of draw parallels to guys we have on defense right now. But I just think it's a much different league than it was in 05. But it's not out of the question. It's not crazy. And I think the one thing, B-Rai, that's probably driving this team is just probably the disrespect that they're getting around the league, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. Can an Eli Manning win a Super Bowl in today's era?
Well, they had a really good defense too. Giants did.
It might take more. If he can't have that ceiling like a Joe Burrow or a Herbert, it's gonna take the supporting crew around him to be stronger.
Well, I mean, look at Brock Purdy, a late round draft pick. I mean, if you would have said at the beginning of last year that Brock Purdy would have the potential to lead a team to a Super Bowl, people would call you crazy. And I mean, he's nothing. I mean, I wouldn't put him in the Pat Mahomes tier or anything like that, but anything can happen. And one injury can change the whole landscape of the conference or the league. And as the weather gets colder, as the weather gets weirder, these games are going to change in how you have to win them, right? And I just think this team is not getting any respect across the league, and that is a big motivator for sure. So is Kenny the guy? B-Rod, I don't know. We're going to have a long post-mortem autopsy of his season and the Steelers season probably at the end of the year, and I will be curious to look back on the stat lines and the trends to see where we're at heading into year three for sure. Hopefully we have to change the name of the show next year because we've achieved the stairway, but I don't know. It's hard to believe this team is 6-3 right now, looking at the everything, all things considered. But let's move on to the run game, which we've already talked about quite a bit here. Jaylen Warren turned in, I believe, as our first 100-yard performance of the season. If I recall correctly, he had, I believe, 80-some yards. He led the team the week before against Tennessee as well, but I believe this is our first 100-yard game of the year. This is really the first game where we just controlled the game with the run. It really set the tempo. Jaylen had 15 carries for 101, a nice long touchdown run as well, along a 20. Najee, 16 for 82 with an average of 5.1 and a long of 24. Najee, I think, looked really well in this game as well. Kenny had 4 rushes for 16 yards. He had a nice, I believe, run for a first down. He also had a run, B-Rai, where he ran past the line of scrimmage and was pointing at somebody. I think I would want to maybe see a little pump fake there. but nonetheless, he's shown the ability to get a first down with his feet, which is hugely important. He isn't, and I'll continue to say, he's not a statue. He is the inventor of the fake slide at the collegiate level, and the reason why it's outlawed. I want to see more of that, Kenny Pickett. Yeah. Calvin Austin also had a rush for 6 yards as well, as we continue to use him on some end arounds, jet sweep action type of thing. What was your thoughts of the running game?
I definitely agree Kenny needs to take off a little bit more. He's very athletic, and unlike some other quarterbacks, he's smart about how he does it. He doesn't run around recklessly. He keeps his head on a swivel. He slides when he needs to. So he is athletic. I'd like to see more of that, especially as he tries to develop further as a pocket passer. As for the running backs, I think Najee's definitely looked better. He looks slimmer, quicker, more decisive hitting the hole. That's been good. But Warren has been absolutely explosive. I don't know if you got to look back and watch that, the one highlight where the O-line was just opening up huge holes. Broderick Jones being in there is a big part of that. But on the one play, there was just a huge hole, and he did, like, it looked like a video game where someone was just pounding the buttons, and he did a spin move out of nowhere. Nobody was around him. He did a spin move, and it actually worked. He's doing crazy stuff. He's jumping over guys. He's fast. He can hit the hole on the inside, and he can take it out wide. So he's been explosive. I think they're a great complement to each other.
Yeah.
This is really, like, best case scenario. Something for the past few years, we always were looking for a backup running back, and now we got a 1A, 1B. Also, I should point out, there's been a rumor going on about Jaylen being named starter over Najee. And I just want to clear out the facts here. So they were both named starters for the recent game. They wanted to, you know, give Jaylen some kudos, give him the respect he deserves. He's not starting over Najee,
yeah,
but, you know, you could argue that he should be. I totally get that. But they're definitely, we got like a 1A, 1B, and it's great.
Yeah, I don't think Tomlin will declare one over the other. He might have been announced with the starters at the beginning of the game, and I believe Najee had first run, right? So I think he opened the first drive. Yeah, you look back to the 05 team with Buss and Willie. Neither of these guys are like either one of them at all. But they're kind of like almost a mix between the two. And to me, Jaylen Warren has been the most consistent part of this offense all season long. He's given us that spark. He's given us that critical first down when the offense was really struggling at times. It's, you know, it's easy to look at Najee and think, you know, he's a bigger guy on the medical table for sure at the combine, or, you know, he's the obviously the hot, you know, the first round draft pick. But Warren is so physical, and he can catch the ball too. He does everything Najee does, I think, just as well, just with a little different spin on it. Yeah. He has such a low center of gravity. He can stay on his feet. He finds the hole a little bit quicker than Najee does, with a little bit more burst, but he can finish his runs and pass protect extremely well all season long. I just think his style of play is what can give our offense its identity, and Najee can feed off that. And we talked about it earlier, bring Najee in. He's more of a pounder, I think, in some ways, and he can help finish the game. They're going to wear defenses down with the way they can physically run the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jaylen has his season average. It's up to 5.1. Najee's at 4.0. They do ask Najee to do a lot of short yardage stuff, closing games out. So maybe that's not totally fair. But Jaylen being over five, it's incredible. And he just has a way of getting skinny. He gets low and skinny, and I think it's probably hard for defenses to see him coming through the holes. So just couldn't be happier with these two at the moment.
Yeah, and Jalen's had a couple of plays this year where he's barely stepped out of bounds on a few plays that would have been a lot bigger too. But overall, you the way this is trending right now, it's what we really need to truly have a shot, is to establish these two guys and really wear teams out as the games go on, for sure. So I want to see more of that. We need more of these 100-yard games, 205 yards on the ground. That's going to be the recipe for success for this team, no doubt. So looking forward to see more of Jaylen and Najee. We're going to need them this week against a very good Cleveland defense. Let's move on to the pass catchers, who were very spread out in this game. Not a lot of highlights. Another quiet day from George Pickens, which extended over from the Titans game, but he did lead the team with 45 yards, 3 catches on only 4 targets. We saw the back shoulder sideline route again from those two. The week before that, B-Ride, George scrubbed his Instagram of all Steelers-related things. It caused a little bit of controversy. You know, obviously coming out of Georgia, there was, you know, maybe a concern about his maturity and his personality, and would he be a distraction? And there was some hem-hawing after the Titans game about his involvement or lack thereof, and a little bit of concern. What's your thoughts here on George?
Yeah, I mean, it's early in his career, so you're seeing some signs that are a little bit troubling, a little bit alarming. It's really hard to know if it's going to get out of hand or not. I think a lot of it, too, is going to be, can Kenny continue to develop and improve as quarterback? And during that process, can they get George more involved? He deserves more targets. Unfortunately, fortunately, they didn't really need the receivers this game. It was a low volume passing game because the running game was just so dominant. So the stats don't look great for this one with the receivers. But he still makes key catches. He is a good blocker, very willing blocker. I feel like he shows up every week in that department. We're just going to have to keep an eye on it. He definitely gets over and emotional. He's shown some immaturities. We've seen this in the past with some Steeler receivers. So going down that path again, it's definitely alarming. We got to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. You know, I don't think any receiver should come into Pittsburgh at this point and expect to lead the league in anything. The days of Ben and Bell and Brown and that kind of potent big yardage, lots of points offense is gone. This is a completely different team. If you're looking for big splash plays and yardage every single game, you're going to be disappointed some games like these last couple, and you got to buy into the team mentality. You know, there was some rumors about AB's personality coming out of college as well, and we kind of kept a cap on that for several seasons, and all of a sudden it just lost control. So that's all we can hope for here. I do think George has a good personality, but we've seen it on the field as well with some undisciplined penalties, some taunting and unsportsmanlike conducts from him. So we got to keep that under wraps for sure, because as the season goes on, those types of penalties can be absolute backbreakers in the worst situation. So we can't let our emotions and frustrations take over, especially in games where we're going to be running it a lot and you're not going to be as involved. So yeah, he wasn't as involved in this one either, but he did lead the team with 45 yards. Connor Hayward had a nice little game in this one, B-Rye. 3 catches, 32 yeah. yards. He had a nice little hurdle. Connor Hayward is just continues to be that Swiss Army knife you can just kind of rely on for nothing huge, but he's there to make a play if you need him. He had a long of 13 on 4 targets. Deontay didn't do much. He had 1 catch. I believe it was maybe in the third quarter. He had a 17-yard grab on 4 targets. Deontay, still a little bit inconsistent at times. Najee had 3 catches for 14 yards, 4 targets. Warren also had 4 targets, only 2 catches, 9 yards. He was involved in that controversial, at least from the Packers' point of view, lateral or forward pass that they were claiming was possibly a fumble. Mount Washington had a 6-yard catch, and Calvin Austin had 3 yards on 1 target. Thoughts overall on the pass catchers?
Yeah, I thought Hayward looked a little more agile than normal, so it's good to see him make some plays. I do want to point out Allen Robinson did not have a catch, I don't know if he even had a target, but he did show up in the run blocking game. I thought he did a fantastic job with his run blocking. He was a big part of some of those wide runs, some of those pitches that typically go to Jaylen Warren. He's a big part of that. So you don't see him on the stat sheet, but he's definitely a winning kind of player for the style of offense we're playing right now.
Yeah, he's just been a solid trooper all season long. That's about all you can say about him. He's that guy that gets you 5 yards. Like you said, he blocks, doesn't complain about it. He's far from his days of being a number one like he was in Chicago for a few years there. And his stock has certainly come down from the pinnacle of his career, but he's a willing contributor, and that's what you really need at this point. So overall, the offense got it done. Chris Boswell was perfect again. The only miss of his season continues to be that long field goal that got pushed back on the Phantom offsides call, I believe. Otherwise, he's been perfect, which is what we really need from the Boz going forward. And let's look at the defenders, shall we? TJ Watt led the team in tackles, which is unusual. He had 8 total, 7 solo. He added that sack, and he had 2 hits on the quarterback. Thoughts on TJ in this game, B-Rai?
Yeah, I mean, I thought overall the pass rush, I wanted to see a little bit more out of them, but I mean, he got a sack. He was all over the place making tackles. So TJ in particular, I thought he had a good game. He actually, during this game, they broadcasted this. And so for the NFL players in the modern era, in their first 100 career games, there's a list of the most sacks all time. Number one at the top is Reggie White at 105 sacks. TJ actually passed up his brother JJ during this game. JJ had the second most sacks all time within the first 100 career games at 88 sacks. TJ passed him up with, I think it was either 88 and a half or 89, and he did it within 96 games. So he's on his way to like all-time sack ability as an edge rusher. He's just, you know, just proven where he belongs in really NFL history.
Yeah, I mean, he's already there. I mean, he's the Steelers' all-time sack leader, at least since they started recording sacks as a statistic. And yeah, I mean, he's on the fast track to the Hall of Fame for sure. His brother appears to maybe be a Steelers fan at this point, showing up to some games as well. And who knows, B-Rye, if things get really desperate later in the season, maybe we can give old TJ a call, huh? Landon Roberts had to pull some extra duty in this one. He had 8 tackles, 6 solo. He had a tackle for a loss, I believe, was early in the game. He also had a pass defense. Keanu Neal, I thought, had a nice game. He had 8 tackles, 4 solo, another pass breakup. Keanu Benton, another solid game, B-Rye. 6 total tackles, 3 solo, and a pass defense. 2 quarterback hits. He really stepped up in this one. The trend for him continues to look up to be a huge part of this defense moving forward. KZ had a nice game. He had 5 tackles. Joey Porter, I thought, had a nice game. Even the passes he did give up, he was right on his receiver. I know he was playing against Christian Watson a lot in this game. He also added a tackle for a loss. James Pierre had 3 tackles. Cameron Hayward had 2 tackles, must have been on special teams. Elijah Riley, 2 tackles and a tackle for loss. He continues to show up every now and then, playing more with Minka out. Mark Robinson, 2 tackles. Highsmith had 3 total tackles, 1 solo, a pass defense, and a hit on the quarterback. Patrick Peterson, very nice game from him. Obviously, he had the tip drill. He also had the extra point block, right? Which our special teams have been very nice, and you got to think the special teams are going to be fired up, B-Rye, after Danny Smith tore his rotator cuff after a dirty play on the last play of the game there. Loudermilk doing Loudermilk things, adding 2 tackles. Shannon Sullivan had a tackle and a pass breakup. Levy Wallace didn't play a lot in this one. He must not have. He only had a tackle. Rodney Williams had a tackle. So did Larry O. Quiet game from him overall. Miles Boykin and Tariq Carpenter with, I believe that was his Steelers debut against his former team, I want to say, used to play for the Packers. And then real quick, obviously we had the big interceptions there from Neal and KZ towards the end of the game. So overall, a nice little game from the secondary. Thoughts on the defense, B-Rye?
Yeah, they made some plays. I thought Levi Wallace, another bad game. He was the 2 touchdown passes. He was a part of the issue. I know not having Minka has been a problem as far as communication goes. Then you lose another middle linebacker. You lose Neal, or I don't know if he left the game, but he got banged up. But either way, Levi Wallace, he's a veteran. He's been on this team for a couple years now. He needs to be that presence that keeps the glue together. He was a part of the 2 touchdowns. I think I did hear that he got benched towards the end of the game, so don't like seeing that. Other than that, though, there were some positives. Pat Pete, I thought, had one of his best games of the year. Joey Porter was locked down throughout this game, did a great job, and real tight coverage against Christian Watson on a few throws. And I think at this point I'm gonna buy a Keanu Benton jersey if they exist. Ooh. Because we've been really like talking about him every week,
yeah,
wanting him to get more playing time, and it's gotten to the point where Tomlin is starting to gush over him, and that's something he doesn't usually do with rookies. So he's unblockable. He, for a guy his size, he's able to just use agility to get to the quarterback, doing pass rush moves that linebackers typically do. And he's a force in the run game. He's really unblockable, and he gets better every game. So he's been a big part of this defense, and it couldn't come at a better time with Cam still trying to, you know, get healthy, and Larry O, he hasn't been playing as much, it seems. And we got some other younger guys like Liao and Loudermilk who aren't developing to what we were hoping they would. So without him, I'm not sure where our defense would be at right now.
Yeah, and I had a brain fart. Cameron Hayward came back in the Titans game, so it's our first time back on the pod with him back in the lineup. So I did get him mixed up with his brother there. So, yeah, Cam is working his way back in. Yeah, I think he kind of had a surprise reappearance on that Thursday night game there, but he's now firmly back in there. And yeah, like you said, B-Rod, Benton isn't the type of guy to light up the stat sheet or the highlight reel necessarily. He's just been a rock solid presence, and you got to be very encouraged with him. Being a second round draft pick, obviously they thought very highly of him and his ability to pressure the quarterback, which is really wasn't what he wasn't known for in college, but he's showing that ability in the NFL. So the arrow is pointing way up on him, and I don't know if I'd go out and buy his jersey, so to speak.
Hey, he got a half sack on that one with TJ. They took it away from him and gave TJ the full sack. So,
you know, you had a Najee Harris jersey on early in the season, and he became Najee Harris at that point. So I don't know if we want you to have. You also have that Gunnar Olszewski jersey.
No, that's not true.
Well, speaking of jerseys, they need to go back to these block letters and font permanently. I think they're just such a better look than the kind of italics that they had there. What was it, in the early 2000s, they switched to those. But the block letters are iconic, some of our favorite Steelers, all-time greats from the 70s and the 90s. Your Lloyds, your Greens all wore those jerseys. And I just think they look a lot better. So make it happen, Art. Move to the block letters permanently, because I think everyone just likes them better. And yeah, no Leal a lot this year, and that's kind of disappointing. I was very high on him last year, so that's what makes me kind of hesitant about Benton. Is Leal showed a lot of promise last year too, and he just hasn't shown up as much, especially the last a few games here. So not writing them off completely yet, but we have a lot of bodies on the D line there that can be useful. And we have Armon Watts as well in the wings.
Good.
Yeah. And Montrevious Adams does something every once in a while. So we got a lot to work with there, especially with Cam back for sure. Presley Harvin had a Presley Harvin game, nothing crazy, 44.8 average on 5 punts with 3 inside the 20. No glaring mistakes from him, if I recall. Did he didn't shank any in this one, B-Rye?
I didn't notice any. I may have missed them. I know I missed a couple plays, had to rewatch it, but usually with the punts, I'll sometimes go back through quickly, and I think he had a pretty solid game.
You have a Presley Harvin jersey as well, right?
I do. I collect special teams t-shirts and jerseys.
Gunnar Olszewski resurfaced with the Giants, I believe, by the way. So maybe you can trade in that Steelers one to get a new Giants blue Gunnar jersey. How about it?
Sounds good.
Anthony McFarland has been back returning kicks too. Yeah. He had 73 yards worth of returns in this one. And I want to see more Anthony McFarland too. He could be an interesting X factor, not only in special teams, but on offense as well, maybe every once in a while. He had a nice looking preseason, and he got an injury early in the season. So he's back in the fold now too. And unfortunately though, B-Rye, we lost Quan Alexander early in this one. I believe it was the first Packers drive away from the play. He went down with a season-ending Achilles. That's his second Achilles injury of his career. So you got to think that this might be the end of the line for him, probably the end of his Steelers career. He came in on a one-year deal. Cole Holcomb, the game before that, we weren't here for that one, but we lost him as well to a brutal friendly fire knee injury. He signed a three-year deal in the offseason, so his Steelers career maybe not over, but these are both going to be pretty tough injuries to come back from, it appears, for both of these guys. And really unfortunate. Cole had the green dot. They gave it to Quan. Charles Davis dropped a little nugget that actually in practice, Landon and Quan were kind of sharing the play calling duties, so they were actually prepared for this situation. But middle linebacker was a pleasant surprise, I think, on paper and in the box score and in the game as far as impact goes. Early on in the season, I think we were feeling pretty good. We didn't necessarily have a superstar or a high draft pick playing there, but they were getting the job done, and they all kind of had different traits. And now we're down to just a Landon Roberts and Mark Robinson and a cast of characters after that. So, B-Rye, what do you think of the injuries to the middle linebackers here, and what else is going on in the injury front?
Yeah, that's a very, very tough loss. It started out as a luxury, and now it's down to, we're pulling guys up from the practice squad to have some bodies there. I was hoping Keanu Neal would be able to play this week. It looks like he's going to miss it because he does have a background of playing linebacker. He can play, nickel linebacker. He is a guy that I think could help fill this void. But there has been some activity going on in the background. We had, there was some interest in veteran linebacker Tanner Vallejo. Never really heard of him. He's got some experience with the Cardinals last year, started 5 games. He's an older guy. Haven't heard of them signing him, but there has been some rumors I just read before hopping on the pod, actually, that there's some interest in Miles Jack coming back. He was retired. He just came out of retirement, cleared waivers, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was signed by the end of the weekend. Now, he was a guy who, when we signed him, I was pretty excited about. We heard good things. He had some really good years under his belt. And then when he came here, he looked kind of washed. But maybe with the way the D-line's playing and taking up blocks, maybe there's some room for him to just be a guy that knows his assignments, doesn't make mistakes. That's something with Mark Robinson, who he's a converted running back, so he's still very raw. That 40-yard run from A.J. Dillon, that was all on him. He literally ran straight into the blocker and let up this huge hole. So maybe a guy like Miles Jack can kind of help fill the void as far as just being a steady every down guy. I am kind of excited about Mikael Walker coming up from the practice squad. He was a 4th-round draft pick last year, or no, actually in 2020 from the Falcons. So he has some experience. He's a little bit athletic. And then, Mikey, do you and your wife ever order from Amazon?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we live out in the sticks. We don't, we don't get a chance to go into the city to do a lot of shopping. So we rely heavily on Amazon. Yes, sir.
Yeah. We, my family and I feel like we get a package every day. It's kind of ridiculous at this point, to be honest.
Yeah. We got one of those big like package mailboxes now. Because Jenna felt sorry for the mailman always having to bring a package down to our house. So we got him a big mailbox. He can put all kind of big packages in.
Oh, that's cool. Well, unfortunately for Amazon, with their busy season coming up, they're down a person. Their workforce has dropped a person because the Steelers signed linebacker Tyler Murray. He left his job at Amazon mid-shift to join the Steelers practice squad. He's an undrafted rookie, previously with the Bengals. They cut him in camp, coincidentally, to make room for Steelers former tight end Zach Gentry. So he was previously recruited in college as a cornerback. He converted to linebacker. He is very athletic. I think he has good coverage skills from what I've read. Maybe there's something there. I'm sure he can't step in and play. He's probably pretty raw, but maybe there's some development that you can, use him a little bit as the year goes on. Tyler Murray, he's not related to Kyler Murray, but he is actually cousins with former Jaguars running back Maurice Jones-Drew.
Oh, wow.
So I found that a little bit interesting.
That is interesting. Well, you know, these Amazon drivers are getting robbed left and right, apparently. These trucks of packages are just getting looted. So maybe he has experience fending off some of those looters. I don't know. Back to Michael Walker. He had a lot of game experience last year with Atlanta, I believe. He played in a lot of games for them. You know, stopgap, if nothing else. Miles Jack, new owner of a hockey team while he was retired. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah.
What team?
He bought the ECHL Allen Americans. So Miles Jack said, you know what? If I'm not playing football, I want to own a hockey team. So that's what he did. Purchasing the team, he became the first black majority owner of a pro hockey franchise. So,
very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on him, though. You know, I was pretty excited because he was a high pedigree guy coming out. I think it was at UCLA. Thought he would be a guy the Steelers would look at in the draft, and they didn't end up with him. And he was solid for Jacksonville for a while, and he was just kind of whelming, I want to say, when he came to Pittsburgh, if not below mid in a lot of cases. So even if they did bring him back, I mean, at least he would be familiar, but nothing that is going to be a game changer at this point, because Holcomb and Kwan, I think, were just both playing their roles really well. So they're going to have some patchwork to do. I'm not huge on the Mark Robinson train either. I think he can lay some booms every once in a while, but you're right, he's very raw. And that's going to be a big weakness for us as the season goes on, because Holcomb, it may not impact him as much in his Browns game, because he's more of a downhill run stop and thumper, and so is Robinson. So that kind of, I think, plays well with the Browns' plan of attack. But yeah, it's concerning. We were having pretty good luck on the injury front earlier in the season. It's kind of come back to hit us pretty good here these last couple weeks. But we might get Pat Freiermuth back, right?
Yeah, he's questionable, but from everything I've heard, he's likely to play. So huge help. We really need like a number three receiver that can draw attention, and we need a guy who can catch those passes in the middle of the field, something we haven't been doing at all. So hopefully he brings that. This game's going to be really tough for him. I think the Browns are probably the best defense against tight ends, but as long as he can give some sort of a presence this game and build off of it moving forward, I think that'd help a lot.
It looks like, it does look like, I just read here, it looks like Walker will be in the lineup this week.
Okay, awesome. So, yeah, but we'll see what he has. He's got experience, so that helps. And he does know the system since he's been on the practice squad. We also have Deontay had a thumb injury. He's going to play. He's fine now. I know Cam got some rest. He had a little bit of a groin issue. He's going to play. Montrevious Adams has been rolled out. He's got the ankle injury. So, luckily, we do have some depth right now, and we can afford to give him some time to get healthy again. Keanu Neal, rib injury, he's rolled out, and so has Minka with that hamstring. My hope is really that they're resting him up and getting him ready to come back for that Raven game, because we're going to need him then.
Yeah, Neal got injured on that interception, right? On the return. And then Danny Smith, obviously, torn rotator cuff in three places. I watched an interview with Danny Smith, who's obviously quite the character, and he's taken some nasty shots on the sideline. He's had a lot of injuries getting run over, and he got absolutely plowed at the end of the game.
Yeah.
So, Danny Smith might be in a sling or something like that, but he'll be out there. He's probably holding it together with some of that chewing gum.
Yeah. He got leveled, and yeah. As soon as he got up and acted like nothing happened, and he's just chewing away. He's just
so
indestructible
pain,
because that chewing gum. Maybe that's the key to not getting concussions. Just all the players just chewing bubble gum. I think there's something to be said there.
Oh, yeah. You might want to do a study or something on that. Just have a big wad of gum in there, like putting a towel in your mouth when you're getting branded or something like that. So you know what we had? What was his name? Kwiatkowski in the preseason. I'm not sure what happened to him, but he's a Pittsburgh area guy. I'm kind of surprised they didn't look at him anymore. There's somebody else too. They worked out Eric Rowe today. This is Friday. We're recording, by the way. It's Friday evening, so we have a little bit more intel here. Let's see what else. Did you see the graphic on the game Sunday? Or no, it was Thursday. It was last night's game. Yeah, we're already in the next week already. Where they had the four main players for the AFC North, and they were all like sitting in thrones because, you know, they were all above 500 at this point still. And, you know, you have Lamar for the Ravens, you have Myles Garrett for the Browns sitting in his throne, you have Burrow in the Bengals throne, and Steelers had TJ Watt. But did you see that they had it was Big Ben's body with TJ Watt's face photoshopped onto it. Could you imagine that, football player, B-Rye?
I didn't see that, but now I'm going to have to go look for it. That's like a Frankenstein kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so that brings us to the Browns, who just lost their quarterback as well. So we're down two starters in the AFC North after this week. Looks like Dorian Thompson-Robinson is going to get the start. But don't be surprised maybe if you also see P.J. Walker in this one. But the thing to worry about the Browns, obviously, is the run game and the defense, right, B-Rai?
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, Chubb's not there any longer, but it just keeps on ticking. It's a running game that you have to really respect. I think it kind of starts with their O-line. They're built to run. That's kind of their bread and butter. I really do think Jerome Ford is one of the more underrated running backs in the league. They've had a tough schedule recently, played against a lot of tough defenses. I think as the season goes on, you're going to start seeing them leaning on him, and I think he's going to show up. So definitely a big challenge for us this game. And then Kareem Hunt's actually looked pretty good. I think he's looked better than he did has the last couple of years. So we got to respect them. We got to play gap discipline, and it's going to be a big challenge.
Yeah, and DTR is more of an athletic quarterback, so we're probably going to have to hunt him down a couple times, but he did not look too great in his first appearance this season. P.J. Walker, I think, is capable, but you're right. Obviously, Njoku, Cooper, we're going to have to keep an eye on him. I think Cooper might have been a little bit banged up, but I think he's expected to play. DeJuan Jones, their tackle, I think he might be in danger of missing the game. It does look like Denzel Ward is probably going to play as well. So their defense is in pretty good health, it looks like. And that's going to be the real test in this one for us. Just looking to see if I can pull up the Browns injury report here. Juan Thornhill. That's who I was thinking of, the free safety. He looks like he's going to be out.
Okay.
DeJuan Jones.
Maybe take some.
Yeah. Jones is limited, so he will probably play. Marquise Goodwin out. So.
We might want to take some deep shots this game. But careful deep shots. You don't want to turn the ball over. I think that's the main thing we got to do this game.
Yeah,
not turn the ball over.
Which we haven't been. So we have to keep that up for sure. It doesn't look like Minka's gonna be back. He has been practicing all week, right? So, looks like they've just rested Pat Pete and Siamalu. We'll probably get Freiermuth back. It looks like, and Deontay, like you mentioned, was. He didn't practice earlier in the week, but he's back. So it's going to be a test. This is what the Browns are going to have to deal with the rest of the season with their quarterback situation. But you got to imagine they're going to lean on the run, which I think the Steelers can be had in the run game. And Ford got him even after Chubb went out in the game earlier this season. But overall, B-Rye, I think all things considered, I picked the Steelers on the pick show with Len earlier this week. And that was before we knew Watson was out for the season with his shoulder injury. So I got to double down here. I got to take the Steelers on the road. What do you think?
Yeah, I got to go with them too. Over the last three seasons, the Steelers have won 4 out of 5 games. Let me see here. So they only won by 4 points. They did win earlier in the year against the Brownies. They won by 4 points, but that was with Chubb available part of the game. Watson was available. The Browns are probably a little more banged up overall since then. So they're kind of a shell of themselves. This game is at Cleveland, so that is a factor. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be, we can't make mistakes. We got to show up. We can't take them lightly. So to win this, we would come out with a, 7-3 record?
3-0 in the division. Yeah.
3-0 in the division. That's serious. So we do well against rookie quarterbacks. We're actually 24-5 against rookie quarterbacks since 2007. And that includes this year where we're 1-1. We with a loss against Stroud. We had the win against Will Levis. So you do have to give Tomlin a lot of credit for his ability to kind of squash these rookie quarterbacks. I expect nothing different here. I expect them to win. They probably won't win as much as they should. It's going to be a tight one. I'm going to go 19-3 Steeler win.
19-3.
Okay. 19-13.
19-13.
19-13.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go 14-10 Steelers victory in this one. Take the under. I'm not sure what the over under is. Let's look that up really quick. It's got to be low, right? It's got to be painfully low.
I'm going to say it's like 33 or something.
I'm going to pretend like I know how betting works right now.
33.5.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm going to stick with 14-10. Could be 9-6. Could be something like that. I mean, this is going to be the ugly one. I'm not sure what the weather is going to be like in Cleveland, but things are starting to turn sour in our neck of the woods. I think all the really nice days might just be gone. So it's going to be an interesting classic slobber knocker, but getting a win on the road here would be huge. And of course we stay right in Ohio next week to face Jake Browning and the Bengals, but a win in Cleveland here would guarantee us at least a 500 record in our division and keep pace with the Ravens. And like we said earlier in the show, the rest of the schedule is favorable. With a lot of matchups that we could and should win in most cases. So yeah, it's going to be a classic Steelers Brownies matchup here. And next week we have the Bengals and we have Thanksgiving. So be right. We'll probably have to get together. I know Tuesday night I am booked here with Len and Don Dawson and CM Nick, where we're going to be talking some wrestling and we're going to be re-gimmicking some WWE superstars. So we will have to get together on Wednesday, if that works for you, or are you going to be on the road?
No, I'll be in Pittsburgh here still. Okay. I think Wednesday I'm good. Yeah.
Okay. So you can look out for us next Wednesday then. And we'll have a chance then to talk about Thanksgiving and all that and what we like to eat and all that. And B-Rye will probably be having some pies in the oven, I imagine, at home there and getting ready, maybe mixing up some cranberry sauce. What do you think, B-Rye? Homemade cranberry sauce or out of the can?
I honestly haven't had enough homemade. I mean, normally I go with homemade. I did have some canned the other day. Fantastic.
Out of season? So, out of season, you just bought some.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
just, I respect, you know, that. I like it.
You know, can't get enough Thanksgiving food. I mean, it's incredible. I'd eat it any day. The Gobblerito from Mad Mex, I'll get it in July. Like, it doesn't matter to me.
Is that have turkey in it, I assume, and stuffing?
Yeah. It's a burrito with turkey stuffing, mashed potatoes, gravy over top, and then you get on the side some cranberry.
Oh, wow. Okay. That doesn't sound too bad. Len turned me on to the Sheetz egg salad sandwich today, and I actually liked it. What's your thoughts on egg salad?
I can't go with an egg salad. Yeah. I'm not too picky, but that's one of those things I can't go near.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll talk more food as the aroma is wafting through our homes next week as we get ready for Thanksgiving and we get ready for the Bengals. Any final thoughts here leading up to week 11?
Definitely. We got an after all these injuries, we got a really interesting path forward. Excited to stack up some wins here, hopefully. Hopefully we can develop our passing game along the way. It's a great time of year, so everyone just buckle up, try to enjoy the games, enjoy the season. Don't let the time fly by. Just try to soak it all up and enjoy this time of year. It's wonderful.
It's a great message. Soak it all up. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy the food. And enjoy some more Steelers victory. Because you know what, people? We're 6-3. You're not. And there ain't a damn thing you can do about it. Steelers are coming. The stairway is coming. It might not be pretty, but sorry, that's just the way it is. So for Bad News B Rye, this is Mr. Just Right. This is the stairway. We'll see you next week. Here we go, Steelers.